The Mahatma and the Maharishi by K. Arunachalam. This happened in the summer of 1932. I was working in those days with a group of young men in the slums of Bangalore under the leadership of Brahmachari Ramachandra. He suggested that I should visit Sri Ramana Maharishi on my way back from Madurai. I had been to my village in Madurai district for a brief visit, and I was returning to Bangalore to resume my work in the Gandhi school run by the Dina Seva Sangh. Thiruvannamalai, the abode of the Maharishi, is not on my regular route. So I had to go to Vilupuram and change trains. Thiruvannamalai is a midway station on the Vilupuram-Katpadi line. I got down at the Thiruvannamalai station and went to the famous Arunachaleswara temple. To my surprise, I found there a sannyasi spinning on the charka in one of the mandapams within the precincts of the temple. I stood in front of him for a considerably long time. Spinning was common in those days. Anyone who was politically conscious spun either with a charka or with a takli. But for one who has renounced the joys and sorrows of the world in favor of God realization, to be spinning was something beyond my comprehension. Furthermore, this sannyasi, dressed in khadi jeruva cloth, was using a pedal charka, and that was why I stood in front of him in great amazement. Later on, I came to know that this sannyasi was one of the disciples of the Maharishi. After a while, I made inquiry about Ramana Ashram. This institution, solely built around the Maharishi, was not as famous then as it grew to be in the 40s and thereafter. I was shown the way and walked along the road under the shadow of the Arunachala mountain. I reached the ashram and met the person in charge of arrangements. He showed me a place where I could keep my things and stay. After the necessary formalities, they were simple enough, I entered the hall in which the Maharishi was seated on a sofa. In another corner of the hall, there was a cupboard, on top of which I saw an 18-inch statue of Mahatma Gandhi with a khadi yarn garland. I sat in front of the Maharishi along with several others. Some of the devotees were seated in Ardha Padmasana in meditation. A few were reading silently some religious literature. The Maharishi himself was in Samadhi. Some were reciting slokas in a soft, melodious tone. On the whole, the atmosphere was an elevating one. I sat in silence for hours together. When it was time for the night meal, all the devotees got up and walked toward the adjoining dining hall. I also went with them. The hall was divided by a cloth curtain. On one side of the curtain, some of the orthodox devotees sat for the meal. On the other side were all the non-orthodox. The Maharishi sat in a place visible to one and all, for he did not differentiate between man and man. This was a great lesson to me. After the meal, some of us went back to the hall and sat there. Occasionally, the Maharishi would say something which was not quite audible, and the scribe sitting by his side would write it down. I decided to sleep in the hall, as some others did. I could not sleep because I was inquisitive to know what the Maharishi would do. He got up from the sofa at 3 o'clock in the morning and walked towards the tank. After ablutions, he had a dip in the pond. He changed his khadi kaupinam, loin cloth, and washing the used one, left it outside to dry. After doing all this, he walked back into the hall and sat as usual on the sofa. Sometimes he reclined on the sofa and dozed off. Early in the morning, the Maharishi got up, went into the kitchen and joined the group that was cutting vegetables. He supervised the breakfast and ate with the visitors and ashramites. During the day, there was a stream of visitors who went near the Maharishi and prostrated before him. Sometimes he opened his eyes and blessed them with a smile. Occasionally, he spoke a few words. When the daily newspaper arrived, it was placed near him. He glanced through the pages and put it aside. Most of the time, his eyes remained half closed. There was a calm peace in the whole environment that surpassed all understanding. I sat silently watching and enjoying the holy presence of the Maharishi. After spending a full 3 days like this, I wanted to take leave of the Maharishi and go to Bangalore. I was waiting for an opportunity. The Maharishi opened his eyes. I got up and prostrated myself before him and requested him to clear a doubt of mine. He showed his willingness by a broad smile. Taking courage, I posed the following problem. The Maharishi, by his example, directs his followers to keep quiet. But Mahatma Gandhi, whose statue is here, by his own example, goads everyone to be continuously active. I am puzzled as to whom to follow. The Maharishi's face broadened with an unparalleled smile. He asked, "Who told you that I am sitting quiet?" I replied in all humility that I have seen this with my own eyes. He said, "Why do you think that what you are seeing with your physical eyes is the truth?" I had no answer for this question. Once again, I repeated the question as to whom to follow. Then he inquired about what I was doing. I gave him an idea of the slum settlement work in Bangalore and told him how we were intensively engaged in Harijan uplift and prohibition work. He blessed the work and asked me to continue this work in the manner which Mahatma Gandhi wanted such work done, that is, with great devotion and detachment. I was given a set of ashram publications to be used by the workers. I asked the Maharishi for his autograph. He did not agree, but requested the Sarvadhikari, who was standing nearby, to write my name. The Maharishi immediately said, "How can Arunachalam have a father?" And he laughed. I stood in his presence for how long, I don't know. When I regained my consciousness, I took leave of him and left for Bangalore. In 1951-52, I was in the USA. While touring the southern states, I came in touch with a group of whites who were deeply involved in the desegregation movement. They did not differentiate between man and man, whether black or white. I found in the study of the leader of this group a photo of Sri Ramana Maharishi, whom he had never seen. He revealed that it was the Maharishi's teaching that was the driving force in all his activities undertaken for bringing about equality between the two races, the whites and the Negroes. He evinced a deep interest in the Maharishi's mode of self-inquiry for self-realization. Now I understood the true import of the Gita teaching. He who sees in action and action in inaction. He is wise among men. He is a yogi who has accomplished all action.